Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
I'm Alan Sizlowski from RotoWire.com. On this episode of the RotoWire Dynasty Fantasy Football Podcast brought to you by Underdog Fantasy, my guest is Jordan McNamara from the Football Guys Dynasty Show and the Analytics of Dynasty.com. Jordan is known for his team building guide, which he sells over the Analytics of Dynasty.com/shop, where it's a comprehensive guide on how to become a better dynasty player. Everything from not just scouting reports, but also how to detect certain profiles, bust risk, hit rates, everything you can imagine, and we go over some of that today. And right now you can get 10% off his team building guide by using promo code Alan, A-L-A-N. That's right, me. I get my own promo code. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this conversation about bust rates, hits rates, and which players in the first round of your dynasty rookie drafts are most likely to hit and which ones are most likely to bust. I want you to throw cold water on everyone's rookie draft or up the bat here, and then we'll get into a little bit more details. But just right off the bat, I know you've done the digging, and I've tried to explain this. I think you do the best job. Explain why and the actual numbers behind rookie dynasty drafts and why you're more likely to miss than you are to hit.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me. It's always good to be here, and I always enjoy our chats. So, yeah, I think I'll be able to get through this one. So, I think it's really important to understand in Dynasty, just to understand expectations, right? And honestly, this all stems from my work in Dynasty, my work with the Analytics Dynasty. The reason that I started writing, the reason I started recording podcasts, was the reason I started, I work at Football Guys, and I wrote I've written the Analytics Dynasty yearly guides. It all stemmed from.
Also, just so you know, in the podcast version of this, I'm going to give you that full intro with everything as well. So, if you're hearing this on the audio podcast, you've been properly introduced. This isn't just the cold open; it is on the video.
That's fine. I say all of that because the reason that all came to be was because I drafted Kyaris Garrett at 207 in a rookie draft. Now, if you're thinking to yourself, "Who is Kyaris Garrett?" It's a great question. Kyaris Garrett never recorded an NFL stat in the NFL. Okay, he never.
I feel like I know some football, but who was Kyaris Garrett? Was it a wide receiver? I don't even.
He's a wide receiver. He was an undrafted free agent from Carolina, and he and I got so into trying to study rookie drafts, trying to understand everything, that I convinced myself to draft an undrafted free agent at 207 in a rookie draft. Now, I've fortunately come a long way from that, but that lesson taught me something, right? To understand expectations, right? To kind of understand the odds and, the importance of draft pedigree, right? The importance of making, the proper bet. So I actually detailed this story in the team building guide this year, which was, it brought back memories. Listen, there's each position has a different expectation in terms of your odds of hitting. I use just the odds that you produce a starter season, at running back and wide receiver, a top 24 seasonal finish, and a quarterback and tight end top 12 seasonal finishes. I just use them as kind of benchmarkers of, like, are you fantasy relevant? And what you see is, right, there's a really clear connection between draft pedigree and production, right? It changes a little bit by position, right? A first round running back is really going to have the best odds of anyone historically to have success. And then really what it does is, and I think one of the key things, you know, if you could just kind of understand this, the odds of hitting are equal for one running back draft round later than the wide receiver. So running back one is, you know, first round running backs on their own tier, and then second round running back, first round wide receiver, they match in hit rates. Yeah. Third round running back, second round wide receiver, they match in hit rates, right? So if you kind of can sort of conceptualize that, that will, I think, that avoids you making big misses. And then generally speaking, I don't think you want to draft. Yeah, if you're drafting someone, you know, at a position way ahead of another player that, you know, has better draft pedigree, right?
So if you're like, drafting, for example, a fourth round. So if you're, I was going to say, so if you're drafting like a fourth round running back, like Damian Pierce's profile last year over Jahan Dotson, something like that, which was
Jahan Dotson, or, you know, James Cook would have been a good one. Like people probably, there's people that probably made that bet. You know, and again, it might work out in a one size, you know, in a one-off situation, but generally speaking, that's a bad bet to make. And so you just kind of have to, you know, understand those things, right? There's a lot of different risks that go along with being drafted later. So kind of understanding all of those. And what you realize is that there's like only a first round running backs, and then really first and second round running backs, and then first round wide receivers and the tight ends and the quarterbacks, depending on how you want to measure them, right? Those guys, they're the only ones that are better than 50% chance of hitting. Outside of that, right, you're missing a lot more than you're hitting. So just really be sort of conscious of that.
Well, let me ask you, why is the round number so, it's such an arbitrary line. Like, so if somebody's drafted it, and I'm going to use an extreme example here because I want you to clarify it. If a running back is drafted at pick 30, which is the first round, versus pick 36, which is the second round, I mean, it could just be a question of which one of those teams needed a running back. Why is the arbitrary line, this is round one, this is round two? Shouldn't it be more like, hey, if you're drafted generally in the top 50 picks, why is it always round one? I use the same, I've heard it said a million times, and maybe the statistics bear it out, but why is that arbitrary round one, round two really the difference maker?
Well, a couple of things. There's a difference between round one and round two in the sense of, A, the commitment a team makes, right? There's a, you know, just you're have a sunk cost of a first round pick on a player versus a sunk cost of a day two pick on a player, right? That is a difference. So that's one thing. The second thing, there's a fifth year option, right? That is a difference in those players that protects, insulates potentially those players more than, you know, a round two guy who doesn't have that option, right? So there is some differences there. One of the things that you notice, and there's been a lot of work on this. I've done some, I've seen people do more thorough work on it. The intra round, right? The intra round hit rate, right? So if you're to just take first round running backs, or you to just take first round wide receivers, there really isn't a difference in the hit rate as the round goes along, which would be odd, right? You would think that that would be the guys drafted higher in the round would perform better than the guys drafted lower in the round. I think there's a couple of things that go along with that that explain that. Number one, the guys going later in the round are going to better teams. Better teams have better quarterbacks. Better teams have more stable coaching situations. And so what you see is all of those things, I think, can really benefit guys going later in the round than early in the round, right? Those things are all, while the player earlier in the round probably has better raw talent, I think the situation and all the factors that go into, you know, supporting player performance actually help players later in the round. So I think that's a little bit of it. But the great example, one of the best examples, I think, of this ever happening is Hakeem Butler. I think he was drafted with the first pick on round four, if memory serves. It was like the first or second. I think, yes, it was the Kyler Murray. It was the first pick of round four. And everyone was like, well, he's basically a third round guy. And I'm like, that's not how it works. And,
right.
You know, and we see that. And, you know, there's like a huge difference between third and fourth round wide receivers. I mean, that's a Grand Canyon size chasm between those two, you know, those two spots. And Right. It was very easy to say you don't give Hakeem Butler. No one else gave Hakeem Butler the benefit of the doubt. Only losing dynasty managers would give him the benefit of the doubt.
You know, it's what our friend Matt Kelly calls him, Hakeem Bustler. So, I mean, yeah. That was his. Yeah, and doesn't that apply to also like Antonio Gibson, right? He was like the first or second pick of the third round. And, you know, people are like, oh, it's basically a second round running back, where because it's running back, it doesn't apply, or is it the same principle?
It's the same. Again, running back's a little bit harder to tell with some of these things because the sample size is a lot smaller, right? There's just more wide receivers drafted than there are running backs. But I generally think that that's true. And so, like, how do you sort of play this out? You know, like last year, like I'm big on drafting day two running backs, right? I think that day two running backs, historically, if you look where they've gone in rookie drafts, like you look where they go in ADP, they tend to outperform. The players that go around them, and they tend to outperform the expectation of the pick that they go with. A couple of things are important about that. I use a hit rate, a top 24 seasonal finish, as just sort of a benchmark, because we need to have a benchmark, right? You can't just say, well, he's a good value. Like that doesn't, that's frustrating for me because I don't think that really tells people anything. So you need a certain threshold to say, you know, kind of here's your odds. At least that's how I view it. When you look though at running backs are different than wide receivers because Samaje Perine is a really good example of this. I mean, Latavius Murray is a really good example of this. He's actually my company's logo, his stat line from 2019. Because what you see is running backs, it's a week to week game at running back, right? So if a guy gets injured, the next guy up, right? He's usually lineup viable, right? So right. If
well, you're saying if that like running backs are more projectable week to week, wide receivers are more projectable year to year.
Yes. And so what that does for you is if you're choosing between a running back and a wide receiver, right? Especially like if it's a flex consideration, right? As we're sitting here right now and it's March, we don't necessarily know in week 9 who we're going to put in our flex position, but there's a really good chance that if you rostering running backs, you're going to get someone that's going to get a clarified start or have a really good opportunity. And you'll be able to kind of play some matchup stuff by doing that, right? If you're at wide receiver and you're just sort of, if you're trying to stream wide receiver, that stuff's a lot less predictable, right? That's a lot harder to get. So much of it's dependent on, you know, did the guy score a touchdown, right? Like it becomes very difficult. So what you see is the difference between the positions is also important because I think the running back, you know, there's running back hits that, right? If you're a wide receiver and you don't get a top 24 finish, you're probably not relevant. You're not moving the needle. If you're a running back that doesn't finish with a top 24 seasonal finish, you can still be very, very impactful. Right?
In those and short windows, you mean, right? Like Latavius Murray could have 3 weeks of top 12 production, finish the season as running back 40, and still have been more valuable than wide receiver 32 for you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so that's, I use a metric called WARP, but it's actually another metric that goes along with it called AWARP, which is really just adjusted wins over replacement. And what you see is that really draws out the positional advantage of running backs over wide receivers in those ranges, right? And it's sort of, I think it really can, it has changed the way that I sort of positionally view these positions. I think the key to it is understanding your expectations and sort of what you're getting into. Right? And so if you're selling veteran players for picks, right, what bet are you really making there? Right. Again, that's not to say that's always the wrong bet, but you kind of have to understand what you're seeking to get, what you're seeking to accomplish there. You know, you just go back, like, again, I think Latavius Murray is the greatest example of this ever. You can actually look like Tim Hightower was this like years and years and years ago in a week 16 game, but Latavius Murray, week 7 and 8, of 2019, he averaged 34.4 points per game in those 2 weeks. That was running back one by almost 10 points better than the running back two in that stretch. And so if you had him, like Kamara was out, right? If you had Latavius Murray and you put Latavius Murray in your lineup, you're at least 1-1 probably. And most likely you got a really good shot of being 2-0. Right. Because that's just a huge advantage in a flex. Right. And that's what you were doing. So that's kind of the difference of the positions. Right. So again, you know, while you're sort of grading them all on the same number, I think a top 24 finish means something different for a running back than it does for a wide receiver.
But also, like, if you're, when you're looking at seasonal finishes, right? And I think that you actually answered this question, because I was going to say running back like 17 doesn't really help you win a championship, whereas wide receiver 17 does. But the difference really is that was the running back projectable in two to three week window pockets? Well, Khalil Herbert saved your season when David Montgomery went out a couple seasons ago, right? Like it buoyed your team from losing two in a row to possible at minimum going 1-1. So, and you guys have brought this up on the Football Guys Dynasty podcast too, is that generally wide receiver points are cheaper to buy than running back points, for that exact reason. Meaning, you know, when you get into the trade market, everybody needs running backs. I don't care what team you are, you always need a running back, right? Especially with all the attrition and the injuries. So I guess really is, how do we value that in our dynasty rookie drafts? And how do we know which players are more likely and less likely to bust? You talked about draft pedigree. So if somebody didn't even study the tape or look at the analytics, can we just look at the order these guys are drafted in? Just say, start with the running backs and say, okay, I want this guy because he was drafted 15 spots or 22 spots ahead of this guy. Is the draft order the most important thing when we're looking at the stuff?
I think the draft, the round is.
So it doesn't matter if you're pick 38 versus, you know, pick 59, right? When you're looking at those two guys, that you're going to look at those as equal bets.
Yeah. Yes. And the benefit that you usually get from that is the one guy's cheaper, right? Like the guy that's drafted at 50 is cheaper than the guy that's, you know, usually than drafted at 38, right? Again, so I sort of use that as a benchmarker. Like I say, you know, my wife doesn't know a tight end from, you know, a kicker. She wouldn't, she has no idea. But if I gave her like a handful of like a couple of rules, right, I think that she could, you know, just sort of blindly implement the rules and kind of finish middle of the pack, right? And one of them would be like, all right, just sort of follow the draft pedigree and just when you get a chance, like, you know, never basically differ from the round of the best guy available, right? And I think that that will leave you with better odds, right? And again, that's not to say like their stories are like Damian Pierce, their stories are like Tyler Algier, those types that can be successful, right? 20% hit rates happen one out of every five times, right? That they will happen. But you know, would you rather bet on a coin flip or would you rather bet on a 20, you know, a pick on the right side of a dice, right? I mean, that's kind of like how I view this, right? Like, and so you much rather take the higher percentage bets, and they add up, right? When you do that, right? When you see good dynasty GMs making, you know, the right just probability bets over and over and over again, like, you know, they are, there's a reason that people use this as a retirement account, right? There's a reason that people use this as a vacation fund, right? Because they're making consistently the right bets and over time that adds up, right? And I think that's very true in Dynasty. So I think, you know, drafting by round, you know, one thing that I have been, I've had a tough time sort of with doing historically, I'm trying to do it more and more. I'm trying to really push my comfort level on it. It's not trying to pick favorites. And so like, I'll use a good example. I really like Jalen Reagor in the class, where it was Judy, Lamb and Jefferson. And spoiler alert, Reagor was the wrong choice. And so one of the lessons that I took from that was I wanted to go back and really understand why that was the wrong bet. And one of the things that I found was when you look at wide receivers drafted in the first round, you know, just what I said, they perform randomly. Okay. And so again, there's additional stuff that you can look at, you know, breakout when they broke out, right? There's a really good breakout stat called dominator rating, which is basically, you know, the percentage of your team's yardage that you had in a year,
right? Yardage and touchdowns.
Plus the touchdowns, your market share of touchdowns, you know, percentage of your team's touchdowns divided by two, right? The average. And that gives you your dominator rating, right? Historically, guys that have broken out earlier, right? If someone gets to like 20% at 18 or 19 years old, they have historically performed much better than guys that have done that later, Okay. So
performed better in the NFL, you mean, right?
Correct. Correct. Okay. Yes. Yeah. That carries over to the NFL. So basically, if you're good younger, right, there's a better chance that you're good in the NFL, right? Which makes sense, right? And so, you know, you don't want a 23-year-old breakout guy, right? That's kind of, you don't want a guy that had his best year when he was 23 years old. And you're like, oh, look, he's turned over a new leaf. Like, that usually isn't what happens. It's usually, that's why Jackson Smith and Jigba is really compelling, because as a really young player, he was the best. He was the best receiver in on a depth chart that is going to have
two top 20. Right. That features top 12 dynasty receivers. So, you know, correct. Olave and Garrett Wilson. Right. Okay.
Correct. He did that from a young age. Yeah. So like I go back to that class and I look at that class and I say, okay, Rager, Judy, Lamb, and Jefferson all sort of fit that, right? They all sort of had that breakout, you know, before they were 20 years old. I really like to now sort of push myself and say, instead of picking one, right, just take one. Okay. Mm-hmm. So instead of picking my favorite of those guys, they're going to perform pretty close. And the variations in those things are going to be very difficult to predict. So take the guy that's cheaper, right? So what did that mean? Judy for Justin Jefferson, the pick that ended up being Justin Jefferson in a second, right? That was something that I tactically did a couple of times when Rager was off the board. I wish I'd done it when Rager was on the board, right? The same thing, again, that class is a really good one. And I might even go back and like write an entire chapter about that class and about why it explains everything. But the quarterbacks is a good example. Like Justin Herbert was like, you could have traded the pick that was Jonathan Taylor or the pick that was Joe Burrow or the pick that was Clyde Edwards-Helaire in that class and taken Justin Herbert and Justin Jefferson. That was absolutely, yeah. You might've even gotten more than that.
Right. The two first four, 1-1 is what you're saying.
Right. 1-1. It could have been 1-2, 1-3. Like I think you could have gotten 8 and 9 in that draft class easily those picks. And
when you think about it, a couple of years later, Clyde Edwards-Helaire for Jefferson and Herbert, obviously it seems absurd, but those are real things that can happen using these probability bets.
Absolutely. So I think so more and more, like I've tended to say, instead of trying to pick favorites at wide receivers, I'm just going to pick one, right? I'm going to take one instead of trying to pick one. I'm going to try and just take one. And I think that mindset, that's something I've really tried to challenge myself to. Again, I like Jackson Smith and Jigba, but I'm in the back of my mind, like with a hammer, I'm sort of hitting myself and saying, be careful, be careful, be careful. Like, you know, and that's why I, you know, never trade up in rookie drafts for a wide receiver. That's always a losing bet, right? For all of these reasons, like that's, I think, some of the tactics behind it.
Right. And even Ja'Marr Chase in Superflex drafts was like pick 6 in his rookie year. Mm-hmm. I mean, and yes. People were aggressively pounding the table and for good reason, taking Zach Wilson over Ja'Marr Chase. I mean, a couple of years later, that looks like a foolish bet, but you know, you can't just have like, hey, I'm going to take the quarterback every time if, you know, the trade back. But I know those are two different positions and in Superflex generally you want to take. And that's why Kenny Pickett last year was an interesting play because he wasn't a top 10 quarterback, but he was a first round quarterback. So when you get into these, the bus rates, like, because there's a lot of people doing their Superflex rookie drafts now. How do you treat, you talked a little bit about a running back, you talked a little bit about wide receiver. With quarterback, it's not the round necessarily as it is where in the first round they are drafted. Can you just dice that up a little bit to get people to understand what the bus rate is? And when I say bus rate, I mean, for quarterback, it has to be what, a top 15 finish? What's your metric?
I usually use like 10, right? I like easy numbers to remember, so 10. I think if you went and like put it at 12, right, I think there's probably, you know, you look at where like Mahomes and Watson went, I think it was like 10 and 12 that year. You know, Justin Fields was 11, right? So that
what I meant though, Jordan, what's a hit is a hit for fantasy football, the top 15. Like what would you consider?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, I misunderstood what you mean. Yes. Yeah. Yes. I use the top 12 seasonal finish.
QB1.
Yeah, a QB1 finish, right? Again, different QB1 finishes mean different things, right? So, but you want to sort of, you know, we're looking at sort of like minimum viability, right? We're looking at, is this guy a viable fantasy option? That's a pretty good marker of it. You know, what you see there is you're trying to get that, you know, those guys about 60-40 top 10 guys. Right. Is about your hit rate.
Wow. It's that low. It's only if you're a top 10 drafted quarterback, you're only going to be a hit, meaning a top 12 fantasy quarterback 60% of the time.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah. That is painful.
About 60-65%, depending on kind of when you want to measure it from, right? And again, yeah. Like go back to the Josh Allen class, right? There was four of them, only one of them hit, right? Like, you know, and so it's really tough. Like that is a tough debate. Like, and so like the Zach Wilson, Jamar Chase one is a really like that is a that's a tough question to me because A, you're drafting at a premium position, right? B, your odds, you know, just if you were to randomly select those guys are probably better at the quarterback position, right? It's a more right. meaningful position historically. And so like, I actually got caught a little bit last year in like the mid first. Again, Kenny Pickett wasn't a top 10 guy, but he was the only guy, right? And so it was a really interesting question of like, again, I didn't have a great answer for this. But what do? You take like, again, so my approach was, I don't necessarily know between Garrett Will, you know, I thought Drake London was clearly the best guy. He had top 10 pedigree. It's a little, you know, all his metrics point to him being the best guy. I believe that. So I didn't take much of him up there, but that was sort of my position. And then I thought everyone else kind of blends in.
But here's the difference though, is that when you were doing London versus Pickett was QB1 in the class, even though the draft pedigree was lower, right. Whereas Zach Wilson in fantasy was the QB4 that year, or the QB3. Wasn't there like three other quarterbacks easily going before him? It was Lawrence, Fields was going ahead of him, and Lance, right? Also, it was the QB4 versus the wide receiver one. It's a different argument.
Yeah, it is. It is. But it's a different argument too, because Pickett went so late. You know what I mean? Right. So it's a tough, right. It's interesting. So again, I like to just sort of every year is going to be different. Right. So I think kind of going back and like looking at kind of the idea of the numbers. One of the things that I think too, is like, you know, if push comes to shove, you start looking at odds, right. The last thing I always ask myself when I don't know the answer to the question, I say, which one's the most scarce, right? Which one's the hardest one to replace? It's almost never wide receiver, right? It's usually a quarterback, you know, in tight end premium, it's usually a tight end, right? It's almost never a wide receiver. So I tend to break ties against wide receivers, like when it's close, because I think that they're not scarce, right? They're not scarce. So that's the sort of thing that I go with. So again, Pickett, right? Was it Pickett or Wilson last year? Was it Pickett or Olave? I kind of looked at that and I'm I don't know. Like, I don't think Pickett's odds that, you know, long-term are that great, but I do think at some point in the next 12 months, I can put Pickett in a deal. And I know that I can get a quarterback upgrade by putting Pickett in a deal with picks and I can move up, you know, at the position. I know that's probably going to be available to me. I'm not certain if I can do that with a wide receiver. Right. So that's kind of the way that I erred again. Come to find out, I could have done that if I had taken Wilson, but if he looks like Jahan Dotson, right, or if he looks like Treylon Burks, that's probably not the case. Again, they perform. I think that they perform randomly usually. Yeah. So that's kind of the interesting. Like, that's the art versus the science of it, right? I don't think, and that's why I think there's so many different strategies in Dynasty. I think understanding the probability makes sense. There's sometimes to go against it, right? But there's sometimes you can really harness it, and that's, you know, some of the examples of it.
And you make an interesting point, because like Garrett Wilson last year was attached to Zach Wilson. Look how quickly that changes, right? I mean, he's going to be attached to Aaron Rodgers, presumably. I mean, talk about like a guy that's going to be out of the league after 2 years versus one of the all-time GOATs. And in reality football, Aaron Rodgers is still one of the best 6 or 8 quarterbacks in the NFL. I posed this question to a couple people the other day. They said, oh, Aaron Rodgers is garbage. He was a down year. I mean, forget fantasy football for a second, Jordan. Mm-hmm. If I was talking about your team is the Buffalo Bills, you love the Bills. Let's say you have to pick for real football for just 2023. Which quarterback would you prefer to quarterback your team for 1 year? Aaron Rodgers or Trevor Lawrence? The answer is?
I'll be taking Rodgers.
For 1 year. That's what I'm saying. So now the reason I bring up real football is because that's going to buoy the value of the fantasy production of the wide receivers. And also the question about Kenny Pickett is because even though he's perceived as, you know, QB 20 ish and Garrett Wilson's a top 5, top 8 dynasty wide receiver. I mean, their points are not going to be that different. A bad week for Kenny Pickett is 15 points. That's an pretty good. Okay. Week for Garrett Wilson. I mean, you know, you're hoping that Pickett, the quarterback, has a floor of like 18, 19 points, whereas that's a dynamite week for a wide receiver. So you have to also keep that in mind. At the end of the day, in addition to position scarcity, the object of the game is to score fantasy points. Now, the trade value and the actual value, I mean, that's a whole different ballgame. What the asset actually delivers in points versus what they can garner on the trade market, that's a whole podcast on its own. But I want to circle it back to where we started in the beginning about bust rates and which rookies in this class are most likely to bust. And I don't mean tell me the names like Jahmyr Gibbs or Jordan Addison, but how do we determine that as we go in? So if we think of them as profiles, which you often talk about on your podcast. So we're going to actually take a quick break here. But when we come back, Jordan and I are going to discuss which profiles are more likely to bust in your first round pick and how to maneuver around that. We started talking about it. So stick with us for the break. We'll be right back. The 2022 NFL season is over, but fantasy football season never stops at Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play fantasy football. Right now, you can draft in Underdog's The Big Board Tournament with $1 million in total prizes and $200,000 given to first place. Think you know which incoming rookies will burst onto the scene in 2023? If so, now's your chance to draft them at a value. All you have to do is join The Big Board and draft your fantasy team. That's it. In best ball, there's no waivers, no trades, and you get the best scores in your starting lineup each week all season long. And whoever has the highest scores at the end of the season wins the money. Just head to underdogfantasy.com, the App Store or Google Play Store. Sign up with the promo code RWNFL. Let me say that again, RWNFL. And not only will you get the first deposit doubled up to $100, we'll also give you a six-month subscription to everything RotoWire has to offer for free. That's Underdog Fantasy, promo code RWNFL.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic. So now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And we're back. I'm Alan Soslowski of RotoWire.com, along with Jordan McNamara, who everybody loves his podcast on the Football Guys Dynasty Fantasy Football with the Jordan. Tell them how real quick before we get into answering our question about bus rates is where can they find your podcast if they're not already listening to it?
Yeah, the Football Guys Dynasty Show. So you can get it wherever you get your podcasts. Every Tuesday night at 9:30. We're also on YouTube. 9:30 is a loose. That's loosely defined as 9:30.
That's the live YouTube version of it.
Yeah, right? But yeah, loosely defined as 9:30. It might be a little later depending on the shenanigans going on in anything.
Right. I mean, like in your last podcast, I mean, there was the two windows there. You weren't even there because you're out
there. I showed
up late.
Yeah, that's right.
You're out there yelling at your neighbors.
I hit the press play button and then showed up late. Yeah, it's weird how that went.
Too good. All right, Jordan. So, and also everyone, you should follow Jordan as I do on Twitter at Analytics of Dynasty. And we'll talk about the amazing rookie, the dynasty building guide and all that stuff that you have going on at the end of the show. So stay tuned for that. We're talking right now about which rookies are most likely to bust, and we're not getting into specific names just yet. So what are some of the first, you know, you've seen the ADP of what rookies are going in the first round. What type of profiles do you think people have to be careful of? Now, you talked about Jaxon Smith-Njigba, right? Mm-hmm. He's presumably going to be wide receiver one in this class, meaning drafted. Now, is there a difference that are all first-round wide receivers treated the same, or does it really matter when a receiver goes in the top six, like a Jamar Chase and Jalen Waddle versus Jahan Dotson, who went in the back part of the round, or if you're the last pick? I mean, T. Higgins was the first pick of the second round, and arguably he's performing like a first-round wide receiver. So I guess really the question here is, what sort of profiles do we need to be careful of so we don't land on that landmine in the first round?
Yeah, you want guys that are productive from a young age in college, right? I mean, that's right. You want first-round wide receivers. I mean, if your best bets are first-round wide receivers that were productive from a young age in college, right? That's why, again, Jaxon Smith-Njigba checks probably both of those boxes. I think he's going to be a first-round wide receiver, and he's very productive from a young age in college.
Does the combine stuff, though, matter? Because now you're seeing, like, oh, they didn't – he ran a 4.5 instead of a 4.4. I mean, to me, that stuff seems a little bit arbitrary when you're talking about some of these other characteristics and profile traits that seem to be the most important.
Yeah, so I think the easiest way to think about this is the combine matters in the sense of when you get drafted. Okay, so a guy that runs, right, the average speed of a first-round wide receiver is higher than it is for a third-round guy. Right. It doesn't. Right. That makes sense. Right. Henry Ruggs is going to go earlier if he runs, you know, whatever he sub 4.35, whatever he ran, than if he ran, you know, 4.51. Right. We're going to look at him differently. The NFL is going to look at him differently. He got propped up because of his speed. That determines where you go in the NFL draft. Right. What it does not do is once you take where you went in the NFL draft, it doesn't differentiate between those guys. So, for example, if there's one guy in the first round of the NFL draft that runs, you know, 4.32, and there's another guy that runs 4.52, that historically hasn't been predictive. So it has predicted where you go in the NFL draft. It is not predicted once you've gone there success amongst that round. So I think if you're looking for guys to go high, right, you know, kind of keeping an eye on pro days and those sorts of things, right? I think that will have an impact on where they go. But once they go there, it doesn't differentiate between those guys, if that makes sense.
Yes, it does. So the combine leads to the draft capital, and then draft capital is what we ultimately – draft capital has everything baked into the cake, is what you're more or less saying here, is that there's so many of these other factors, from the college tape to the combine analytics, to, you know, to just basic scouting and data. And that's why draft capital is so powerful, because that is the betting line. That is what Vegas puts on the board as the final product, the baked, fully formed cake. So other than, I liked what you said earlier, it's eye-opening to me. Instead of picking a wide receiver, just taking the one that comes to you, trading back is generally good philosophy. What do you think is the number one mistake that most, even experienced dynasty drafters, make in their rookie drafts? Because, you know, dynasty players aren't just in one or two drafts. They're in 10, they're in 20, or in my case, 40. Sickening. So when these drafts are coming out like a fire hose here and you're having to pick, what do you think the number one mistake is that most people make?
Betting on situation.
Mm.
Right. We've seen that pretty consistently. Right. That's a guy like Amon-Ra St. Brown, for example, didn't look like he was in a particularly good situation, and then has been dominant. And then you compare it to a guy like Mecole Hardman, who everyone loved his situation and isn't that good. Right. He's just not that good. So You know, I think we if there's anything about this that we are bad at, right? The thing that maybe we are most bad at is projecting situation, and not only projecting situation, projecting the impact that has on specific players. It's very difficult. It's very, very difficult. And just understand. So with that, I think the mindset that I always take into these things is, I don't know. Right. I'm going to try and make the best probability bet that I can. Right. If I can make two bets that are the same probability as one bet, I'm going to try and do that. Right. That makes a lot of sense. And, you know, and sometimes that even means let's trade this pick for a useful upgrade at another position. Right. Those sorts of things. More and more as I play this, I'm becoming less and less. It's like the Dunning-Kruger effect, you know, where you sort of get into the valley where you don't know anything, where you actually do know a lot, but you don't think you know that much. That's kind of where I spend a lot of time with the draft, because a lot of what we know doesn't necessarily carry over, and it's a really, really hard topic. So I'm not trying to be Johnny Raincloud and saying don't pick your favorite players, but just understand that the probabilities aren't that high. And, you know, if you can make two bets at the price of one, do it. Right. If you can make
Johnny
Rain, probably a bit. Yeah.
Johnny Raincloud is sunshine in this podcast. I like to throw cold water on the, you know, on people's enthusiasm in dynasty, because it's probably not going to work out for you. You know, I mean, right. You're probably going to lose your dynasty league. You're probably going to pick the wrong player. And that's why, YouTube videos and podcasts that talk about busts are interesting, because it makes people uncomfortable. And when you talk about first round picks, I mean, I know pick 1.1 and 1.12 are totally different, but when you mix the whole soup together, what is the percentage chance, if you had to throw a number on it, that your first round pick is going to not work out for you?
The first round pick
of a rookie super flex draft,
about 40%.
I love it.
About 40%. Yeah. Then you know, the first 3 years. So I measure that just by the hit rate of the guys in the first 3 years. It's a little bit more complicated historically because of the quarterbacks, and we don't have great historical ADP for Superflex. I've kind of adjusted for that. I would say the odds that you hit on someone with a random first round rookie pick is about 60%. It's about 60, 30, and then 10 would sort of be how I'd think about it. 60
well,
in
30
the
is what the second round?
30 in the second round, and about 10 to 15% in the third round.
Right. Well, that's why when you're in these startup drafts and people are throwing around third round picks instead of, hey, I'll give you a third round pick for, just random veteran, Samaje Perine, you're taking Perine every single time there, because that fits what we talked about in the beginning, where Perine, even probably more so this year as the Denver running back, and Javonte Williams probably not going to be 100% for the first, you know, half of the season. But even Perine in his previous situation is a better bet to be someone you could use in your fantasy lineup during the current season plus one. And the people think 40%. Okay, 40%, that's not so bad. You know, that's 60-40. I'll take that bet. But, you know, a colleague of mine, Chris Liss, says, would you get on an airplane that had a 40% chance to crash? No, you would think that was those are horrible odds. Right. You know, you wouldn't get on the 1% airplane, right? If you knew one of every 100 airplanes was falling out of the sky, you would just never fly.
Right. So that's 100% true.
Right. So why are you going to get on? If four of every 10 airplanes is falling out of the sky, there's no way you're getting on. But obviously that's an exaggeration for clarification. But, you know, that is simply how we do it. So, all right. So pick 1.1 this year, Bijan Robinson. Obviously, every situation needs to be taken in its own, you know, its own year, its own context. Let's say Bijan Robinson goes to a situation that we don't love, like New England Patriots. Like, that's been mocked around, and, you know, that's not an optimal situation. Do you think so? How are you going to look at that? Is that like, you know, the 1.1? So should someone right now basically trade out of that pick, knowing one, that there is a significant bust rate of rookies in general, and two, that he can land in a bad situation, which you just said to ignore. So I guess really what I'm asking you here is, for dynasty players that still hold this golden ticket, this 1.1, is the correct way to hold it and roll the dice, or is it to get whatever proven assets and value can right now?
With 101, you're taking Bijan Robinson, would be my take. The situation I don't think matters. By the way, I saw that he was recently mocked to the Patriots. So I actually went, there's this website called Grinding the Mocks, and it aggregates mock draft data. Mm-hmm. And I forget who did this. It was like Daniel Jeremiah. It was someone really famous that put him there, and I was like, oh my God, is this a sign? It's like the only mock draft that has mocked them to take Bijan Robinson. Like literally the only one, right? Like, I mean, it was a very, there may have been two, but it's a very, I don't think it's a particularly high likelihood he goes there. And actually off of that mock draft, I've been buying Ramondre Stevenson. So for what, just as that caveat, when you look like his draft, like his odds, I think of going 8, 9, or 10 are really high, right? If you look at a lot of the mock drafts, like they're sort of right in that line. And so I think that's especially eight. Recently, like that is kind of so coalesced eight. There.
Eight,
Atlanta at eight is the one that's fascinating to me because
right because it makes total sense there because Tyler Allgeier, everyone's jumping up and down that he's dodged free agency, but that's bad because that could only mean one thing that they're
right.
that a run first Derrick Henry centric coach who had Derrick Henry on his team when he was with the Titans is now with the Atlanta Falcons is looking for that next Derrick Henry. If we basically, Bijan Robinson, there's nobody that doesn't think that this is the instantaneous best running back in the class. And certainly, and for Dynasty, he's the RB1 in many circles. That just makes too much sense, doesn't it?
Yeah. And like the one of the other things, too, is like it's funny because you use the hey, he dodged free agency. Like, I actually think Devin Singletary landing with Houston actually helps Damian Pierce.
Right.
Right, I think Damian Harris landing in Buffalo actually helps James Cook. I think the lack of someone landing like that, who a team could say, okay, listen, now we have a sufficient depth chart. Allgeier can win that battle, right? I actually think that there's a missing piece there that if it's Bijan Robinson, and the odds of that happening are actually pretty high historically. Like the odds of Atlanta drafting someone with a higher pick than they spent on Tyler Allgeier last year is like 38% historically, which is really high. Like when you look at these things, like that is a really, and the odds that Buffalo were to draft someone ahead of James Cook is like 4%. Right. So just the massive difference in those guys, I think it's notable. Like there's a lot of risk on that side of it as well. And sort of understanding that, I call that the draft threat rate. And so that's something I think you can use to harness as well. So, but yeah, going back to Bijan Robinson for a second, like I think basically wherever he goes, he's going to be the best player, in that backfield, right? I don't think a team with a better running back, you know, or arguably better running back than him, you know, someone in the same conversation as him isn't going to take him. It's probably the easiest thing to take from that. So yeah, I mean, I think almost no matter where he goes, I'm interested. Situation changes, you know. A couple of years ago, I traded for Tyreek Hill, and so that way I had Mahomes and Hill in a stack. I actually had Mahomes and Hill, and then I had Allen and Diggs, right? The four of them on one team. And I was like, this is great for the next 3 years. This is going to be amazing. And he was gone, right? Like, those situations can change really rapidly. You know, we've seen coaches – I mean, Kingsbury was extended and then fired, right? Like, we don't know at all, like, the coaching – you know, the stuff that's going on with the coaching. So those things can really change. Quarterbacks can change. All those things can really change really quickly. So I think taking a step away from situation, yeah, you know, just sort of treat most of them as neutral, I think is probably your better bet.
Yeah. And everyone,
and that's contrary, by the way, it's very different than that's different. And I think like, if you want to differentiate yourself, don't react to situation as much as the market does. And you'll find value that way.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking in, for me, this is my philosophy, is that we are so bad as a fantasy industry predicting what's going to happen in the current year. How the hell are you going to predict what's going to happen 3 years from now? I always hear, oh yeah, this player will be great for you for 10 years. We could all be dead in 10 years, Jordan. Your fantasy league may not survive 4 or 5 years. So, and also I remember the same situation when CeeDee Lamb was drafted. People were like, oh, Amari Cooper's there. He's blocking him. I mean, a year and a half later, one, Lamb is good, and two, Amari Cooper's no longer there. I mean, that was the reason why. Yeah. So the situation, and we also saw our friend John in the chat was talking about, one of the biggest mistakes are people draft for positional need. He brought up the example of some dynasty rookie drafts, people were taking Keyshawn Vaughn over Justin Jefferson. That was, that's a catastrophic one as well. So, I would say that in any dynasty format, I mean, I guess that could be a tiebreaker position, right? You could have a, if you're looking at Justin Fields versus Ja'Marr Chase in hindsight now, obviously, mm-hmm. and one of your loaded at quarterback, you could take the wide receiver. So very specific maybe as a tiebreaker, but overall, yes, take the best player. You'll be able to, you know, trade out of that to get some value as well. So we were talking about bust rates. I know you've just, you know, you're deep into your rookies now. People like the specific name. So which one of, by rookie ADP, this is how we'll finish it out, Jordan, is which one of them is most likely, in your judgment, before landing spot, everything can change. So if you're watching this after the NFL draft or listening after the NFL draft, things will change. But which one of the profiles, as you see it now, is, are a few of the guys that are a little bit scary to you as far as where they're going versus what they could produce for your dynasty team?
Yeah, I mean, I think Anthony, well, I think the young quarterbacks in general, like I use a site called KeepTrade Cut. This is basically a crowdsourced valuation tool. CJ Stroud at quarterback 9, Bryce Young at quarterback 10, and Anthony Richardson at quarterback 14 of overall dynasty quarterbacks. Those are too high, right? That's, I think, you know, of if you're sort of looking for bust rates, if you're trying to understand, you know, risk, those are too high. Historically, they're just way too high. And so, you know, that's over guys like Deshaun Watson. That's over guys like Dak Prescott. Like there's just, they're just way too high. Okay. And so my first thought is, okay, if instead of taking one of these rookies, can I trade that pick for a veteran at one of those premium positions? Right. That's the first thing I think about before I start to click on those, because I think they're overvalued versus the veterans there. So that's number one. If you're just looking, if you're going to try and look just at rookies, I mean, Anthony Richardson is fascinating. And again, I don't know what dynasty is going to do with him. Right now he's sort of sitting in at quarterback 3 range. I mean, I think I'm of this class, right? If I'm sitting there at 105, 104, 106, somewhere in that range, and he's available to me, I think that's pretty interesting. If I'm going to have to take him at 102, I'm pretty scared, right? Because he basically has a lot of the stuff that we really like in terms of he can run, he avoids sacks at a really good rate. Like I think that'll get him on the field and keep him on the field early in his NFL career, which will help us for fantasy. But there's a lot of accuracy issues. We don't know what he is as a passer. He's played like 13 games in his career. I actually, when I was inputting his data into my system, it wouldn't load it. And I was like, what? I'm like, what is wrong? I didn't misspell his name. I'm like looking at the whole thing. And I realized that I had a career threshold of 500 dropbacks set on all the stats. Mm. And he wasn't showing up because he's got like 300 and something, right? Like, there's a lot of risk there, right? That you have to understand that. But again, I think the ceiling's pretty high. But if you're making that bet at 2, it feels a lot different than if you're making the bet at 5.
Right? I want to interject for a second, because I had this argument on the Sonic Truth podcast with Theo the other day. I said, you don't need to hit a home run with your pick. It's okay to hit a double. I mean, a triple would be great, but I said in your dynasty draft, we get one crack, we get one pick every year. It's okay to hit a double. And his argument was, no, you want to hit the home run at pick 102. See, that's where I think you're making the point where I was thinking, like, I'd rather have Stroud if he is the first quarterback off the board and starting right away for the Panthers versus, say, the Raiders or someone that has a contracted quarterback takes Anthony Richardson, even though we all know Anthony Richardson's fantasy football ceiling is through the roof, but I'm okay hitting the doubles if I can pump these guys into my lineup.
Yeah. And I think the question there is like, what are you trying to accomplish? Right. Like for me, like if your goal is to say, okay, I need to draft someone and when I draft them, my hope is that they develop into a top 5 dynasty option. Right, a top 5 dynasty quarterback. Stroud probably doesn't have that in his bag, right? Bryce Young probably doesn't have that in his bag. That is in Anthony Richardson's bag, okay? The problem is his average and his median are lower, right? So the odds that they are top, you know, 12 guys, right? I think it's probably higher for Stroud. It's probably higher for Young. They're already there. You know what I mean? Like those guys are already there in terms of dynasty valuation, where Richardson's not, right? So that's an easy one on that front. I look at it more of, again, this is more Jordan of, you know, Jordan from 5 years ago wouldn't recognize Jordan from now, because understanding odds, understanding how much the miss rate is, kind of understanding, you know, quarterbacks that have multiple hits, right? Quarterbacks that if you're looking at guys right next to each other in ADP. So again, I use in that range, like Dak Prescott and Deshaun Watson, right? Historically, if their ADPs are really close, and you have guys that have hit multiple times versus guys that have not hit at all, the guy that has hit multiple times is a so far of a better bet. Like it's an astronomically better bet, right? It's exponentially better in terms of the bet. It's an enormously huge advantage to take the guy that's had multiple hits, right? So I think pricing those in your rookie draft is like, all right, are you going to take Stroud? Are you going to try and trade that pick and turn that into the veteran, the corresponding veteran in the range? Like that's the play. And that's kind of why I would say, you know, you take, if you can't make that deal right now, that deal will probably come to you, right? That deal will be available to you if you take Stroud, if you take one of those guys. I'm more looking at them in the sense of like, all right, I want to sort of trade. I want them to be a piece of the main piece of a trade package that I put together, as opposed to I'm trying to hit at 102 with, you know, quarterback, a top five dynasty quarterback. I think that's a unlikely bet. And so I understand Theo's argument on that. I would come at it a different, I'd come at it a different way. I mean, we talked about this. I mean, we were just discussing this on Twitter yesterday about how I turned Deshaun Watson. And if you actually looked at the arc of how
let's give everyone context. You traded for Josh Allen.
Yep.
Right. And you gave up in a super flex league and double tight end premium, meaning tight ends get double points for their catches.
Yep.
Dallas Goedert, Deshaun Watson, and a 24 random first. Call it pick six, whatever. It doesn't matter.
Correct.
So, you know, and I was surprised that the polling was 50-50-ish, right? What did it end up at? Was it close to 50-50?
It was 50-50. It's the last I checked, it was 50-50.
Yeah.
What'd you think the polling would be, by the way?
I thought the polling would be 70. You know what? Now that my first thought was 70-30 Watson, but through talking to people about Deshaun Watson's value in Superflex, 9 out of 10 people told me they think, oh, he's basically not what he once was. So that made sense to me, since most of the market thinks that the 50% was on the Josh Allen side. So my initial thought was 70-30 to the Watson side, but I love what you always talk about with elite players tend to stay elite. And Deshaun Watson is an elite quarterback. He just was in a crazy situation last year. So,
I'm with you. Like I was a big buyer of Deshaun Watson again, for a lot of the reasons that we talked about. Like this is a really good comp to that. Right. I was spending picks that were around the Mac Jones range of that draft class, which would have been 2 years ago. And I was trading them for Watson, right? I was using, I was sort of 108, 107. Right? There's multiple of those that I had, and I was trading them for Watson because I said, I can sit on Watson, right? I know that when he plays, there's a really good chance that he's good. And this is a clear chance that he's going to rebound, right? I think that this is the lowest that I'll probably ever be able to pay for him, right? Until his end of his career. That was my approach. And so I bought in low on them. You know, I traded in that particular league. I traded Cousins and Ramondre Stevenson for Watson, right? Like 18 months ago or something like that, you know, when he wasn't playing, but it was like right at the trade deadline. I was contending, but I didn't need Cousins, right? I had other he was my quarterback three. I said, let's consolidate this right now. Right. And so that's kind of where that stemmed from. Right. To me, sort of making that bet, right, I was sort of doing the same thing where like, I'm not certain, right? I think that Watson was very cheaply priced, right? I don't know right now, right? I think he's going to bounce back, but I know Josh Allen's elite, right? I don't have to worry, right? The only way that I really lose this deal bad is Josh Allen getting injured, right? I might lose the deal.
But that's either side, right? Though.
So I don't really worry about that. So the only way that I view losing that deal is if that happens. And again, it's not something I'm going to necessarily worry about. It would have to take Watson to go absolutely crazy. I don't think Goddard, I really like Dallas Goedert, and I think we don't appreciate how old he is. He's actually older than Mark Andrews, and I don't think people appreciate that.
Was he 28?
Yeah. And so again, I really like him, but he hasn't shown that he can really get all the way home to be a tight end one, the tight end one, which is really the differentiating factor. And the first, like I have Josh Allen. I know the quality of that team. I didn't put it in there, but that team, I made the trade for Josh Allen because I want to go back to back. That's the reason why I made the trade for Josh Allen. I won one, right? There's a dynasty pot on the line. If I can win one again, right? It's a lot of money, right? I'm pushing, you know.
Is it one of those empire leagues where
it's like a 4-figure payout. Like it's a big, it's not a, right? I am absolutely being aggressive on leaning into that, but that's why I made the deal, right? Like, again, I'm trying to eliminate risk. I'm trying to eliminate
downside. Yeah. Jordan, the reason I asked you is who else do you have at tight end? And in that particular deal, it's okay to quote, even though you think, and you made a great case why the deal is in your favor, but even if I think you quote lost the deal, which I don't, I just said like which side I prefer, is because you were so deep at tight end. You collected good tight ends. You have Evan Engram, you had Pat Freiermuth, and when you, it's okay to quote and lose Andrews. A deal, right? And this is a dynasty philosophy of mine. I don't mind losing a trade to make my team better.
Right.
I think that people have to remember. So if you're giving up 52% value for 48% value, but you're actually upgrading a significant part of your starting lineup, and obviously the upside of winning the 4-figure pot is even makes it more enticing. I think that's okay. I think that people get so caught up in winning the micro deal that they forget that it's all about making your team better. It's okay to leak value to upgrade a specific spot in your lineup.
Elite players matter more than depth does, right? And this is a classic case of that. I use a lot of stuff from other sports too. Like, I don't know if the NFL is necessarily the greatest example of this because you got a lot of other positions and stuff, but I think the NBA is a really good proxy for dynasty. Mm. And you look like, you know, the Suns traded like a lot. They traded, it was one of the biggest trade packages ever conceived of, what they traded for Kevin Durant. But you want to know what? Their probability to win a championship went way up.
Yeah.
Right. They overpaid, but you know what? What matters is all of those pieces, and they're really good pieces. All of those pieces didn't matter nearly as much as Kevin Durant does when it matters, right? And that's the thing that I look at and I think about, like, all right, I'm constantly trying to figure out an elite players. You know, in my team building guide, I lay out what I call the hierarchy of assets, and it's I have different tiers of players that are basically kind of like, they're a bit different profile type bets across positions. I try to get some odds into it, so that way it kind of gives you an idea of kind of how to balance players and stuff like that. You know, basically who matters, right? It's kind of on, it's putting it basically, you know, the guys that are going to have an impact, you know, a similar impact across positions. And the top, I have the top tier supermax quarterbacks, and then the next tier is the star assets. Supermax, I call them star, right? Assets. Mm-hmm. And there's 30 of them. I counted today. There's 30 total. And, you know, if I can get 4 or 5 of them, right, it doesn't, right, if I get 2 supermax quarterbacks and 2 other guys that are in that top 30 that aren't quarterbacks, right, especially if they're like tight ends in a tight end premium league, good luck, right? Like, good. And again, like, this, the odds, like, those guys are really going to move the needle. And then, you know, lineup spots 7 through 10, they're pretty close.
You're making, this makes sense also because I'm in a league where I have 2 supermax quarterbacks. I love that you use the basketball terminology there. Mm-hmm. I have Jalen Hurts and Josh Allen. So my floor is already – is Jalen Hurts in your supermax category?
Once he signs his extension, he'll get in.
Yeah, let's assume he's got 3 years of protection. Yes?
Yep. Yes.
Okay, so I have those 2 guys. I have a few guys in that star 30. I have like Cooper Kupp and one other. And then you're right, the rest of my lineup, I'm always piecing it together with like a Brandon Ayuk 1 week and, you know – Tyler Boyd when Jamar Chase is out another week. And you're right, those parts of the lineup don't exactly matter. Dude, I could talk this stuff all day. I love it. I love listening to you. Let me give you a quick plug. Jordan's not here for his health. He's here to promote his dynasty.
I'm here to hang out with you. What are you kidding? My health. I'm here to hang out with you.
I appreciate that. You know how much I love you, Jordan. And I enjoy
I'm here for my mental health. That's what I'm here for.
Well, if people saw how on fire you were about, you know, a little car fender bender that you had right before, they would realize that this is your
I didn't
zen,
even
right?
have it. It's the worst part.
I know. You're just involved in car. DM Jordan on Twitter if you want the details. He'll give you the details of all of that later. But I want everyone to go to theanalyticsofdynasty.com/shop, okay? And that's where you get Jordan's team building guide. If you love dynasty fantasy football, you basically have to belong to this, right? I mean, Jordan, if you like getting into the nuances, not just, hey, pick this player, Jordan will actually make you a better dynasty fantasy football player, teaching about profiles, how to detect busts, all these things. So go over there, follow him at McNamara Dynasty as I do. And also you could see Jordan's podcast on YouTube every Tuesday night, or in your wherever you get your podcast. It's the Football Guys Dynasty Show. It's appointment television for me. Right now, if you want to check out RotoWire for free, unlock our paywall, go to rotowire.com /pod. And also, you can hear Jordan on the Dynasty Hour with yours truly right here on SiriusXM. Right now, if you go to, if you have SiriusXM, go to the app and type in the Dynasty Hour. Jordan appears on one of those episodes, and hopefully we'll be able to pick that up in a couple weeks and do a few more fresh shows. Anything else that I missed here, Jordan, that they should be checking out on?
Well, just because this was so good for my my general overall health and experience and my outlook on the day, use the promo code Allen for 10% off over at the over at Analytics of Dynasty on the Dynasty Team Building Guide.
A-L-A-N or like Josh Allen, A-L-L-E?
No, like your name, like name it after you.
So Allen, A-L-A-N. Hopefully at least one person goes over. And so and how much is the guide? Normally, full detail.
It's $39.99, but it'll get you $4 off, and then it'll get you all. And you know, I think it pays for itself. So
I agree.
You,
and also,
you'll
they
profit
have,
from it.
Yeah, and you have access to you. I mean, someone that's a member, if you're more likely to engage with their. I mean, I know you try to answer everyone's questions on social media, but if you are a member, it's almost like having a private tutor. You know, I mean, it's not just hey, should I trade Cooper Kupp for this player? He'll give you the why. It's not just the what, it's the why. So you certainly want to go over there and check that out. Use promo code Allen, A-L-A-N, at the analytics of dynasty.com /shop, right? That's where they get that. And every Friday, we'll be back with another Dynasty Fantasy Football podcast. If you have any questions about any of the players or strategies that we talked about today, you can DM Jordan. You can DM myself at Alan Sislowski. And all right, everybody, anything else? You know what? Let me give you one final question here, Jordan, because you share a mindset like I do about buying veteran players in rookie season here. Who's one or two players, one running back and one wide receiver, that in the veteran market, that if you're in a win now mode, or even if you're just kind of like trying to build your team up, that you're willing to get rid of some of those late rookie picks for pick 9, pick through pick 12? Who's a veteran you're targeting right now?
I think you can get him for a little bit cheaper than that, David Montgomery. And then I also think you can get him for a little bit cheaper than that, Deontay Johnson.
Deontay Johnson, I think you can. David Montgomery, I think the hype is already starting to start, is starting because he started at RB34, and I already see his underdog best ball price, which is, you know, the current think is up to 27. And right now in Dynasty, would you rather have Montgomery or DeAndre Swift?
That's a fascinating question. I think the answer is Swift, but it wouldn't shock me if in 6 months from now the answer is the other way around.
Right. Like, well, their ADPs are converging. DeAndre Swift is RB19 in redraft, and Montgomery's 27, but those ADPs are converging. So, yeah, I mean, that I'm predicting by draft season, by Labor Day, that those ADPs will be back-to-back or they'll flip. So,
yeah.
All right, buddy.
Yeah, I think that's a fair bet.
All right, go get Deontay Johnson and David Montgomery. I like both those picks. We'll see you next week with another Dynasty Fantasy Football podcast.
Noise, noise. The sun goes down on my side of town. That lonesome feeling comes to my door. The whole world burns.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.